This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everyone? It's Bo here, and it is another She-Hulk TV Talk. We got episode 2, and man, I'm loving this series. Okay, so of course she loses her job because she's now too much of a liability for the law firm, or I guess for the DA's office that she was working for. And so she gets picked up by this law firm that is originally the ones that she was going against. Now, her new boss place of business work thing. They got a superhero division. They're going to be dealing with all these superheroic cases. And, you know, it's interesting because at first you think, okay, this is great. This is how she's going to interact with a lot of the superhero community. But the reality is this is also an opportunity to interact with the supervillain community and to really kind of reevaluate the way in which we have viewed some of these supervillains. And I'm really excited for this. This is law at its finest, right? I mean, it's thinking, it's rethinking and recognizing that everybody, regardless of who they are, deserves a fair case, deserves a fair trial, and deserves to have their side of the story told. We get this with Blonsky. Blonsky? Abomination. We get this with Abomination, right? So he shows up and, you know, he's in this high security prison. Immediately I was thinking like, wow, okay, the raft looks totally different. But no, this is actually, we see the sign for the Department of Damage Control. Now, Department of Damage Control has been woven throughout phase four. Thank you. Phase four of the MCU. It's been woven throughout as kind of the, I guess, replacement for SHIELD. And while SHIELD kind of existed as kind of this, international arm of the law to some extent, or espionage arm of the law, they kind of evolved to be this superhero management task force, right? Once the Avengers kind of came into play, and arguably since even before the days of the Avengers, as we saw with Ant-Man, the original Ant-Man and the Wasp. SHIELD is gone. SHIELD's been gone for quite some time, and yet we still need some way of dealing with this kind of super heroic, or rather just superhuman element in our society as we found it. Thus, now we have the Department of Damage Control. I'm wondering if we're going to eventually see the Department of Damage Control become kind of like what Hammer is, or if we're actually already seeing notes of Hammer here. Hammer, by the way, that was the organization that replaced SHIELD after, was it Civil War? No, Skrull, the Secret Invasion. Yeah, after Secret Invasion, SHIELD was kind of eradicated, and Norman Osborn, aka the Green Goblin, kind of became the new Nick Fury-esque, you know, head of this new department, or rather new organization called Hammer, which did everything that SHIELD did, just more dark and, you know, darker shades of morally gray, I guess is probably the best way to say it. But anyway, Blansky's been kept in this cell that looks very reminiscent of what we saw from the Hulk's Gamma Lab, just a little bit upgraded. We've got these lasers keep coming throughout. You touch them and they instantly evaporate you, red lasers. So don't touch the red lasers. And we see Blansky actually give his side of the story. And it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, you know, Jennifer doesn't want to deal with them for all the obvious reasons. He tried to kill her cousin. Enough reason right there. But as you hear his side of the story, you know, he thought he was going to be Captain America. He literally took the exact same, or at least a variant of the super soldier serum that made Captain Rogers Captain Rogers and made him Captain America. And so, you know, he was working for the U.S. government. They pumped him up with all these chemicals. He goes out there to take care of what the government had declared a menace. And in the process, you know, the two of them end up kind of wrecking the city. And one of them goes off to become a hero. The one that he was hunting down goes off to become a hero. And he gets locked up for the last past, 10, 15 years, however long it was. So, you know, it's really interesting because I don't know that we've really seen the Abomination through that lens, or I don't think that we've been invited to see him through that lens. So that was really exciting. Now, of course, if you're like me and you've been kind of keeping up with everything that's going on in Phase 4, you're sitting here watching this thinking like, Yeah, but like, you know, Shang-Chi, we saw the abomination. He's kind of out and about. He's chilling with Wong in an underground fight club. Oh, speaking of fight club, how about that nod to Edward Norton? All right, we'll talk about it in a second. But anyway, we're trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Where does this fit in the timeline? And of course, by the end of the episode, we do in fact see that there is leaked footage of exactly what we saw in Shang-Chi. And that while this case was about to be a really public case, it is suddenly getting just hammered because, you know, clearly the Abomination has not been chilling in prison as much time as he said he was. And thus, there's going to be a lot of newfound attention on this case and kind of this question of whether or not it's okay that maybe these supervillains are being let out to go and be part of a fight club with a pretty high ranking member of the Avengers. I think at this point we can say, right, Wong is kind of a pretty big member of the Avengers. He's a Sorcerer Supreme. But let's talk about the Avengers. I thought we were done with Bruce. I thought that the Hulk was just kind of a one episode deal. What a great surprise that he pops up in this episode. Like, honestly, just the missed phone call, I thought was enough to be like, wow, okay. Thank you, Mark Ruffalo. Thank you for lending your voice for a little bit of extra here. That made me happy. But then when we actually get a chance to see him, right, on the phone, and he's talking to Jen, and they're reconnecting, I'm like, man, okay, there's a lot of Hulk in this She-Hulk, right? Like, there's a lot of potential, even more kind of Hulk goodness throughout. And like, for a brief moment, I thought, like, is he going to be like a main ongoing character throughout the series? Because that would be amazing. And then, of course, we find out that no, he's not going to be around for that much longer, because that call is coming from space. Now, we can ask the question as to how he's getting that kind of coverage. I guess satellite phones. Anyway. So he's going out in space. Looks like that Sicarian messenger ship did finally get a hold of him, and he's gone. Here's what I'm thinking with all of this, okay? So Jen is going to go on this whole journey throughout this season of trying to reevaluate her life when everything gets turned upside down, when her secret's been exposed. She doesn't have the same kind of hangups that Bruce does because she doesn't repress her anger. But she now has to deal with this kind of notion of like, okay, well, now you have all of this newfound like superhuman Hulk strength. And because she has a tendency of steamrolling people, I'm wondering if that's going to kind of bring her to a place where she has to figure out how to live in the world as such a force of nature. You know, there's a great line from Superman the Animated Series, or actually I think it was from Justice League Unlimited, where Superman talks about the fact that he always feels like he's in a world of cardboard, and that like he has to be so careful because any little like additional squeeze could mean, you know, the difference between a hug and ending somebody's life, right? And so like this notion that Jen now has to operate as She-Hulk almost 24/7 completely while she's at work. Yes, she can control going back and forth, but now she's been put in the situation where they only want her if she's going to be the She-Hulk. So it's interesting. It's a cool office, by the way. We'll see what ends up happening there. All right. Speculation. I want to throw this in. Here's my thought. We're going to see Jen go through this whole journey of her, you know, becoming She-Hulk attorney at law. It's really awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, that little wink at the camera with the Edward Norton thing when Hulk was like, I'm a completely different person now. And she's like, yeah. And then we just move on. I thought that was priceless. Reminded me of the roadie, you know, hey, it's me. I'm here. Let's deal with it. Let's move on, or whatever it is. It's kind of like that. It was great. It made me happy. And we never really got something like that for the Hulk. And I think this is a great way to acknowledge it. All right. But the Hulk, I think this is my speculation. You know, we're all sitting back here and we're thinking, oh, they're setting up a World War Hulk movie, or, oh, this might be the Son of Hulk, or whatever it is. Okay. What if this is setting up what we're actually seeing is setting up season two? And what if season two of She-Hulk is going to be essentially the World War Hulk storyline, except it's going to be She-Hulk versus the Hulk, right? So what if we're seeing at the beginning of the series, Bruce is going off into space. We're not going to see what happens, right? But what we're going to do is at the end of this season, what if that Sicarian vessel comes back to Earth and she's like, oh, Bruce, you know, I did a thing and it's so great to see you. But then he comes out and he's all fully gladiatored up, like a Ragnarok style. He's no longer Smart Hulk. And then like all these other like warships start descending on Earth. That would be awesome and a great setup for season two. And then have us all questioning like, well, where are the Avengers and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's my theory. I think that's what we're seeing here. And I think that would be amazing to kind of come full circle at the end of this, where, you know, she now has to, you know, handle, you know, this world breaker Hulk persona from her cousin. So anyway, that's my theory. We'll see what ends up happening. How are y'all liking this show? I am loving it. Let us know your thoughts. Head over to tvtalk.fm for all of our contact information. Head over to Twitter. Tweet in your thoughts. Use the hashtag SheHulkTVTalk. Love to see those there. And that's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry. I'll be back in a flash.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.